Good evening. I'm glad to welcome you to Webb's tonight. As you can see, I'm here by way of video because I'm in Canada tonight with some of our members, but I'll be back in person 1 week from tonight, December the 1st, for our final Webb's of this semester. And, of course, that's the evening we're having the special Webb's book signing for my new book on Revelation. We'll be doing it an hour before Webb's from 5 to 6, and then we'll also be doing it after Webb's as long as it takes for anyone who may want an autographed copy of the book. So glad you're here tonight. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much that you've given us your word. And tonight, as we talk about our eternal home, where we will be spending eternity, I pray, Lord, that it'll just get us excited about who you are and how we can relate to you in this unusual, special, loving way for all eternity. I pray that you'll open our hearts and minds tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. And as you're opening your Bibles to this wonderful chapter, I do want to remind you that, you know, we're about to finish the book of Revelation. And so I'm going to be trying to get your ideas about maybe the next study of a book that we can start in January. And so I really would like to hear from you again. And the reason I'm teaching Revelation is because a year and a half ago or so when we were starting a new study, I asked for your input. And many of you said Revelation. So here's my email address. Write it down. David@mail@gabc.org. And just let me hear from you. What book in the Bible would you like for us to study at Webb's? Well, as we come tonight to Revelation chapter 21, we are going to be looking at the New Jerusalem. Now, let's put it all in context. In chapter 19, that's when Jesus returns and is victorious in the final battle. And then in chapter 20, we talked about how Jesus Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years, the millennium, and we will reign with him. During that time, Satan will be bound in the abyss. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released briefly, and then he will be cast into the lake of fire where he'll be tormented forever and ever. And then we talked about the final great white throne judgment. All of those who've rejected Jesus Christ, the final judgment. And you know, if you look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, look back up at that, 20, verse 15, it says, "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." And you know, that's kind of a scary kind of verse, but I really love the amazing contrast between chapter 20 and chapter 21. Let's read about what our eternal home will be like in Revelation 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." I'd like to start tonight by talking a little bit about heaven. You know, we talk a lot about heaven and we sing songs about heaven, but sometimes we're not exactly sure what that word means. Now, in the Bible, the word heaven is used three different ways. First of all, it is used to just describe what we would call the sky. The Bible speaks about the birds that fly in the heavens. And then it's also used to talk about what we would call outer space. It talks about the stars that are in the heavens. But then the most often use of the word heaven in the Bible is what we would call God's dwelling, where God is. And so when the Bible says there's a new heaven and a new earth, it's not talking about God's dwelling, because that's always been the same and will be the same. It's talking about a new creation. I mean, earth as we know it will be gone. And even the sky and the space, the universe as we know it, will be changed. And there'll be a new heaven, new earth. All right. Let's pick up in chapter 21, verse 2. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God, see, that heaven, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, you know, when people talk about heaven, they often talk about the pearly gates and the streets of gold, and we're actually going to read about that tonight. But, you know, also I think heaven is going to be heaven because of what's not there. So what are some of the things, what's not in heaven? Well, first of all, the Bible says that there's going to be no devil. No devil. We read about that in chapter 20. I mean, he's completely gone. So can you imagine an eternity without the tempter, without the accuser? But look at some of the other things down there that we read in verse 4. There'll be no more tears. No more tears. I mean, the history of humanity has just been one long river of tears. But the Bible says in heaven, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Now, there's a couple of other things that aren't going to be there that go along with that. Look in the next sentence. It says, no more crying or no more mourning. You might say there's going to be no grief in heaven. Now, there'll be nothing to cry about because the things that cause us pain will be gone, because it also says there'll be no more death. You know, death is such a part of our culture. I mean, every day you open the newspaper and there's obituaries of people that have died. Every day you pass the cemetery and that's the graves of people who have died. Can you imagine being in heaven where there'll be absolutely no death? Also, like the last part of verse 4, it says there's no more pain. No more pain. You know, from the time that we're born until the time that we die physically, life is full of pain, not just physical pain, but emotional pain, heartache. And the Bible says in heaven, there'll be none of these things. And actually, there's one other thing that the Bible tells us that will not be in heaven. There will be no more sin. Because look at the last part of verse 4. It says, the old order of things has passed away. In other words, the way things used to work, in terms of greed and selfishness, all of that is going to be gone. In fact, all of the old things will be gone. The old heaven, the old earth. And then I love what the Bible says in verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, he who was seated on the throne, we know that to be the Lamb, the Lord Jesus says, I am making everything new. Everything new. New. You know, sometimes we talk about the old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Well, that's okay. But I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to a time when Jesus makes everything new. And then he says in verse 5, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then he, this is on the throne, said to me, it is done. You know, that sounds a lot like what Jesus said on the cross when he said, it is finished. But here he's saying, you know what? All of the work of redemption finally has been finished. And then he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We'll talk about that more next week. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And we'll talk about that a little bit later tonight too. And he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Now, you know, I talked about what's going to make heaven so great, what's not going to be in heaven. But you know what? Heaven's also going to be great because of who is not in heaven. And I want you to look down now in verse 8 and look at the list of people that we're told the kind of people who won't be in heaven. It says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and this is the second death. That's a reference to what we just read up in chapter 20. Now, you know, you expect that list of people to be there. I mean, most of those, look at the list again. Skip the first two. The vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts. Once again, that word is pharmakia. We'd call it drug abuse. Idolaters, liars. You know, we expect those people to be in hell. But look at the first two. It says the cowardly. And it says the unbelieving. You know, I think there's probably going to be people in hell who maybe wanted to believe, wanted to confess Jesus Christ, wanted to be right and do right and love the Lord and serve the Lord. But you know what? They just never had the guts to do it. They were just cowardly when it came to professing their faith in Jesus. And what about this? I mean, maybe there were people who were good, honest, kind, moral people, but they just never got around to believing in Jesus Christ. Did you know the Bible puts those people in the exact same category as the murderers, the viles, and I mean the liars, those that are vile, immoral? That's who's not going to be in heaven. So just imagine how great it's going to be. And then look at verse 9. We'll pick up there. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and he said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And so what we want to talk about now is the new Jerusalem. Now, do you know where you'll be for all eternity after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth? You will be in this new Jerusalem. You say, well, will it be in heaven or will it be on earth? Well, that question doesn't even qualify for an answer. You know why? Because there's a new heaven. There's a new earth. Everything is totally different. And you really can't think in terms anymore of planet Earth and the sky as we know it. And so you're saying, well, how can a city be coming down out of heaven? Well, like I say, you just can't imagine standing on planet Earth now and seeing that. And one thing we know about this new Jerusalem is that it is absolutely beautiful. In fact, I want you to skip back to verse 2, chapter 21, verse 2. He said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. You know, as I've said before, I've done a lot of weddings, and I think we all agree that when a bride is getting ready for her wedding, she's going to take a lot of time. And if she ever has her makeup exactly right, it's going to be that day. If she ever has her hair exactly the way she wants it to be, it's going to be that day. If she ever devotes a lot of time to picking out a dress, but not just a dress, but all the accessories that go with it, it would be for her wedding. And so John uses this terminology to describe the absolute beauty of this city, this dwelling place of God where we will be. But it's not only as beautiful as a bride. Skip back to verse 10 again. He carried me away and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. It says in verse 9, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And once again, this is the church. A description of all those who know the Lord Jesus. And then let's look at verse 11 and as he begins to describe this new Jerusalem. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, as clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. there were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. And by the way, this is also described in Ezekiel chapter 48. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, as we think about this new Jerusalem, not only is it going to be a beautiful city, more beautiful than anything we can ever imagine, but it is also going to be massive. Now, there's a couple of things that we need to remember, that in eternity there are two things that we will not be slaves to, and they are time and space. Time and space. We're not going to be subject to the clock. And although we'll have some spatial orientation, it won't be exactly like we are, like we have it today. And as he talks about this city, you know, he talks about having four walls and three gates in each wall. And each one of these gates represent one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But then if you flip it up, this also has 12 foundations. And just imagine 12 layers there. And it says there, look again at verse 15, that these are the 12 apostles. You know, we know most of the apostles. In fact, we know 11 of them. And, you know, of course, Judas, who betrayed the Lord and then committed suicide, that left the number 11. But if you read in Acts chapter 1, one of the first things that the disciples did after the ascension of Jesus is that they cast lots to pick apostle number 12, disciple number 12. And as you know, they chose a guy by the name of Matthias. But we never, ever again hear anything about Matthias. And so a lot of people, and I'm one of them, happen to believe that they chose Matthias, but God chose the apostle Paul. And so when we get there to this new Jerusalem, just I want you to join me some afternoon or some morning. It won't matter because we won't make a distinction. And I want us to walk over here and I want us to read the names of the 12 apostles. And of course, there'll be Peter, there'll be John, there'll be James, there'll be Andrew, all of those. And if the name Matthias is there, I'll give you a heavenly dollar, okay? But I really think we will see there, of course, the name of the Apostle Paul. But that doesn't really matter. But it is very interesting to think about that there will be 12 apostles whose names are on the 12 foundations. Then verse 15, the angel who talked to me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia. Now, by the way, we get our word, of course, stadium from that. Now, we don't have to wonder how large that measurement is, because that distance is exactly 1,432 miles. Statute miles. In fact, we also get our word statute miles from that word stadia. Now, to give you an idea the size of that is the distance between New York City and Miami, Florida. And if you were just to make a square 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and place it on a map of the United States of America, it would cover more than half of the United States. But there's something else. Keep reading there, verse 17. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick. That's like 200 feet thick by man's measurements, which the angel was using. And look at this. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, and as pure as glass. And basically what it's going to talk about is that it's more of a cube, because it says in verse 16, it was 12,000 stadia in verse 16, 12,000 stadia in length and as wide, and look at this next one, and as high as it is long. And so what we're talking about here, if you're talking about geometry, is we're talking about a cube that's 1,400 miles high, 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide. Now, you know how much that is? If you multiply 1,432 miles times 1,432 miles times 1,432 miles, you get over 3 billion cubic feet. That is absolutely mind-boggling, the size of this city. But not only was it a massive city, a huge city, it is also a beautiful city. Because the Apostle John goes on to describe the gorgeous colors of this city, New Jerusalem. By the way, many of you know that I'm legally colorblind. I can't really tell. I can tell really bright colors, but I can't tell any kind of subtle differences in colors. In fact, one Sunday when I was in college, I was preaching and sitting up on the platform before I preached. And of course, my socks were showing. And after the service, somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, did you know you have one brown sock and one green sock on?" And of course, I knew immediately what I'd done. So I said, "Yeah, in fact, I have another pair just like it back in my chest of drawers." So you know what? I can't really enjoy colors now as much as some of you can. And guess what? When I get to see the New Jerusalem, wow, I will no longer be colorblind and I will get to enjoy some of these beautiful colors. Look at verse 19. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire, and all these have to do with colors, because I've been told that each one of these jewels, these are beautiful, distinct colors. The third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, carnelian, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. You ever heard of the pearly gates? There you have it. Each gate made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And so that's where you've heard people talk about the pearly gates and the streets of gold. Look at verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor unto it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Now, when we talk about a new heaven and a new earth, no sun, no moon, no day, no night. Verse 26. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so what John is doing here is he's giving us a description of this New Jerusalem, which is like the capital of heaven, you might say. And the Bible talks about its, in the details of it, just absolutely mind-boggling in its beauty with all of these different colors, with all this glowing great radiance. But I want us to move on down to chapter 22 because his description continues as he talks about this New Jerusalem. Verse 1 of chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. And so we call this the river of life. And it says, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. Now, I want you to imagine a Hallelujah Avenue. It's not called that. I'm just calling it that. And it is so beautiful and massive that there's a river flowing down the length of it, 1,400 miles at least. And then it says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Now, when it talks about the tree of life, it's not talking about one single tree. When it talks about tree of life, it's talking about trees collectively. For instance, here in Texas, we talk about how the pine tree is indigenous to East Texas. That doesn't mean that there's one pine tree growing out there somewhere in East Texas. It means there are thousands and thousands of pine trees. And so it's the same with this tree of life. And it says it is bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So just imagine this beautiful river in the middle of a street with beautiful fruit-bearing trees on either side of this river. And it says, verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. You know, to me, this is one of the most beautiful verses of the Bible. Because if you remember, when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. But when they sinned, that's when God pronounced a curse upon the earth and a curse upon Satan. And you know the last word of the Old Testament? If you were to thumb back in your Bible sometime and you go to the last word in Malachi, guess what that word is? It's actually the word curse. That is the last word of the Old Testament. And I'm so glad that in the last chapter of God's Bible, it says there will be no more curse. Verse 3, the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. So what are we going to be doing for all eternity? We're just going to continue to serve the Lamb on the throne. Here's the most beautiful part of it to me, verse 4. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign, here it is, hallelujah chorus, forever and ever. You know what makes heaven heaven? It's not what is there, it's who is there. Jesus. And the Bible says right here that we will see Him face to face. You know, it says that His name will be on our foreheads. I don't know if that's literally written on our foreheads. It just means that His name will constantly be on our mind. You know, when you love somebody, they're just on your mind all the time. And the overwhelming, compelling love that we'll have in heaven is for the Lord Jesus. You know, heaven is not heaven because of the streets of gold or the gates of pearl or the foundation of the New Jerusalem. What makes heaven heaven is that that's where Jesus is, and we will be with Him and see Him face to face. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly, it says in the King James. What it literally means, it's like a mirror that's fogged up and you can't really see it. It says, but then face to face. And you know, that's how we're going to spend eternity, enjoying Jesus, looking at Jesus, serving Jesus, loving Jesus. And that's what's going to make heaven heaven. You remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? That thief that put his faith and trust in a dying Savior said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, some people think that that's what makes heaven heaven, paradise. But really what Jesus said was, today you'll be with me. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's going to make heaven so amazing, that we will see Jesus and we will be with Jesus. Hope you have your reservation for this New Jerusalem, eternity with the Lord. Well, we're going to pray now. We're going to be finished. But I want to say, 1 week from tonight, I'll be here in person. Final study of Revelation, the rest of chapter 22, a book signing for the book. Hope you'll be here for that. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You that You've shown us already where we'll be and how it will be when we spend eternity with You. And Lord, we love to think about heaven. We love to study about heaven because, like when we're making a trip to somewhere we've never been before, we want to learn everything about it we can. And thank You tonight for teaching us more about what our existence will be like for all eternity with You. We praise You and love You. In Jesus' name, amen.